हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे, जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे, जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद, नित्य गौर हरिबो हरिबो हरिबो, नित्य गौर हरिबो, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Text number 48.
Tato Yudhishthiro Gava. Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva. Saha Krishno Gajavayam. Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharin Cha Tapasvinim Gandharin Cha Tapasvinim Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharim Cha Tapasvinim Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharim Cha Tapasvinim Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharim Cha Tapasvinim Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharim Cha Tapasvinim Tato Yudhishthiro Gatva Saha Krishno Gajavayam Pitaram Shantvayam Asha Gandharim Cha Tapasvinim
Mataji.
Tataha, thereafter, Yudhishthiraha, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Gatva, going there, Saha, Pit, Krishnaha, the Lord, Gajavayam, in the capital named Gajavaya Hastinapur, Pitaram, unto his uncle Dhritarashtra. Shantvayam Asha consoled. Gandharim, the wife of Dhritarashtra. Cha and Tapasvinim, an ascetic lady. Translation. Thereafter, Maharaj Yudhishthir at once went to his capital, Hastinapur, accompanied by Lord Shri Krishna, and there he consoled his uncle and aunt Gandhari, who was an ascetic. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, the father and mother of Duryodhan and his brothers, were the elder uncle and aunt of Maharaj Yudhishthira. After the battle of Kurukshetra, the celebrated couple, having lost all their sons and grandsons, were under the care of Maharaj Yudhishthira. They were passing their days in great agony over such a heavy loss of life and were practically living the life of ascetics. The death news of Bhishma Dev, uncle of Dhritarashtra, was another great shock for the king and the queen, and therefore they required solace from Maharaj Yudhishthira. Maharaj Yudhishthira was conscious of his duty, and he at once hurried to the spot with Lord Krishna and satisfied the bereaved Dhritarashtra with kind words from both himself and the Lord also. Gandhari was a powerful ascetic. Although she was living the life of a faithful wife and a kind mother, it is said that Gandhari also voluntarily closed her eyes because of the blindness of her husband. A wife's duty is to follow the husband 100%. And Gandhari was so true to her husband that she followed him even in his perpetual blindness. Therefore, in her actions, she was a great ascetic. Besides that, the shock she suffered because of the wholesale killing of her 100 sons and her grandsons also was certainly too much for a woman. But she suffered all this just like an ascetic. Gandhari, although a woman, is no less than Bhishma Dev in character. They are both remarkable personalities in the Mahabharata.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Shiva Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare 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 Krishna.
In this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are finding the greatness of great souls like Bhishma Dev, Gandhari, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And here, even Dhritarashtra, in one sense, he's dealing with some heavy loss in his own way. So, usually, when you come across situations of life where you are dealing with loss, you're dealing with pain, you're dealing with bereavement, That's when the greatness of a person actually comes out. You can't make out how great a person is during normal course of life. When everything is good, everything is normal, everything is absolutely fine, you really can't make out how great a person is. But when somebody goes through a catastrophe, a crisis, a very painful situation of life, that's when the greatness of a person comes out. So, while we are meditating on the greatness of Gandhari and Dhritarashtra and the greatness of Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishmadev, I felt it will be apt to also discuss the greatness of some personalities in the Ramayana, especially because we are just on the eve of Ram Navami, and it will be apt that we prepare our consciousness for Ram Navami. So, I'm going to share with you all some very interesting thoughts about the greatness of some souls in the Ramayana. I'm specifically going to focus on two people and their thought process. I'm not going so much into the storyline because we know the story to a great extent, but I'm getting into the mindset and the consciousness of great people. And today I'm going to focus on two personalities, Ram and Bharat. And I'm not even going to go into the whole storyline, I'm only going to focus on three thought processes of these two personalities. And from these three thought processes that we're going to focus on, I want to really meditate on this day on how we can develop these qualities in ourselves. Because it's so important that we just not analyze the story of the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and the Bhagavat, but we look at it from our perspective, our point of view. So, probably the section of the Ramayana where Ram went through the greatest loss, one of his greatest loss, was when he was asked to leave Ayodhya. You know, overnight he was just asked to leave. And he lost his kingship, he lost the kingdom, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his position, he lost everything. So, as I said, during the times of your greatest loss also comes out your character, you know, your character is very visible. So I'm just going to focus on that section of the Ramayana and let us see what we can understand and study from it. So the Ramayana talks about Ram's personality, or rather the Ramayana addresses Ram by different names. When I'm specifically in this particular instance, I'm referring to Tulsidas's Ramayana and certain words that he uses to describe Ram in this particular incident. So when Ram is walking towards Sumantra, walking with Sumantra towards Kaikeyi's palace, Ram at that point is called as Kula Deepak. Now, the word Deepak means lamp, isn't it? He is the lamp of the dynasty of Ayodhya, you know, the whole Raghuvansh, he is the lamp. Now, the lamp gives light, isn't it? That's the quality of the lamp, it gives light. But along with giving light, it has some inherent problems also. What are the inherent problem with lamps? The inherent problem with lamp is that, why do people not use lamps anymore? First of all, it needs oil, you know, it'll keep pouring oil in it. And the second thing is that it needs a wick, you know, it needs that thread. So the oil gets over, the wick gets over, the lamp stops giving light. And another problem with the lamp is that it doesn't have light of its own. It doesn't have light of its own. It, you know, it needs a flame and then it kind of lights up. And it needs this oil and wick. Most people who shine in this world are very much like this lamp. They need wicks, they need oil, that means they need wealth, they need power, they need some intelligence to shine. So that means they need something external to shed light, to show their greatness, isn't it? Now here, another problem with lamp is that when a lamp is lit, the greatest enemy of the lamp is the wind, right? Wind blows, lamp goes off. So here, Ram is considered to be Kuladipak. He's supposed to be a lamp. He's supposed to give light. But a strong wind is blowing in Ayodhya. What is a strong wind? The strong wind is a political turmoil that is going to happen in Ayodhya, right? So when Sita speaks with Ram speaks to Sita, he tells her that ruling, sitting on the throne, is like sitting on a boat in a turbulent ocean. Anytime you can be thrown out. Anytime the wave just goes up and you're sitting on a secure boat, thinking that you're sitting on a secure throne, the waves of politics can throw you away. So the problem with lamps is that they can be blown off by a strong wind. So here, Kuladipak Ram is going to be blown off by the wind of Ayodhya's politics. He's just going to, is the lamp going to go away? No. This is where the interesting idea comes up. So here, when Ram hears about the coronation being cancelled, that he's not going to become the king, how did he react? How did he deal with it? Did the lamp go off? So usually, in such a situation, normal person would become sad. And I'm sure all of us have our own little experiences of some situation where we had a particular role, particular position, and suddenly we said, no, you're no more there. You're no more in that role. So for people like us who are only lamps, we'll go off. The lamp goes off. We'll become sad at least, right? But Ram, at this point, he is addressed by another name in the Ramayana. So far, he has been only called as Deepak, a lamp, right? But at this point in time, when Ayodhya's winds are blowing heavily and the lamp is going to go off, suddenly Ram is called by another name. Here, he is called as Mani. Mani means jewel, gem, right? Gem and lamp both shine. The difference between the two is that the gem does not need wick and oil to shine. So lamp needs wicks, lamp needs oil. But a jewel doesn't need oil, doesn't need wicks. It just shines on its own. If one shines due to one's position, one is considered a lamp only. A lot of people in this world will shine only if they have a position. And that's why people are so desperate for positions. People are so desperate to have some title, You ask someone, who are you? They want to talk about a title. Because their shine in this world is coming out with that because of the title. Now, people like Ram don't need a title to shine. Personalities like Ram, they don't need a title to shine. They don't need position to shine. They don't need wealth. They don't need power. They don't need external things to shine. Because people like Ram are gems. They shine nonetheless, right? So, if one shines due to position, if the external atmosphere changes, then your shine goes away. But if one is a money, if one is a jewel, one is a gem, no matter what the external situation is, money will shine only. Right? So here, first when Ram is going to Sumantra towards Kaikeyi, he is called a Deepak, lamp. When he gets this news that he is going to be exiled to the forest, that time he is called a money. He is called a jewel. And then when Ram actually is walking towards the forest, trying to move towards the forest, he's decided that I'm going to go into the forest. There, the Ramayana calls Ram, it doesn't call him as Deepak, it doesn't call him as Mani. The Ramayana calls him as Surya Kula. Sun. So, here, now the comparison has gone to another level. First he is called a lamp. Then he is called a jewel. Now he is called the sun. Now tell me, what does the sun need to shine? Does the sun need oil and wick? Is somebody, you know, putting oil for the sun all the time to make the sun shine? Does the sun need some kind of external help for it to shine? Not at all. The sun is so effulgent, so powerful. The sun can help millions of people shine, isn't it? So here, the Ram is called the son of the sun dynasty. Surya of the Surya Kula. So that means the lamp depends on external situations to shine. The money, the jewel, it doesn't need any external situation to shine. It shines by itself. But the jewel can only light up a limited space. Right? So if a jewel is in a room, it will light up a limited space in the room. So far, Ram was a jewel in Ayodhya. He was lighting up Ayodhya. He was lighting up the city of Ayodhya very beautifully with his effulgence, with his light. Now, Ram belongs to the world. He's going out of Ayodhya. And now, Ram has become the sun. And when Ram steps out of that palace of Kaikeyi, you know, and he steps on the threshold of the palace of Kaikeyi, the citizens of Ayodhya are all standing down. And they are all looking at Lord Ram and, you know, just digesting what they are seeing. It is explained, when the citizens of Ayodhya saw Ram entering the palace of Kaikeyi, and they saw him coming out of the palace of Kaikeyi, they saw a difference in his personality. So one of the citizens of Ayodhya said, when Ram entered entered the palace, he was looking like a lotus that was closed, like a bud, you know, lotus that was closed. But when Ram came out of the palace, he is looking like a lotus that is fully blown, fully open. Now, apparently, the citizens of Ayodhya don't know what happened inside. The citizens of Ayodhya are thinking, just looking at his facial expression, they made this decision, you know. They say when he went in, he was looking beautiful. But when he came out, he's looking even more beautiful. Have you ever come across someone who comes out after hearing bad news and looking more beautiful? Usually, when we get bad news, we look miserable, isn't it? And our face just withers away, it becomes so small. When we are happy, our face is blossoming and beautiful. But when we are sad and miserable, our face becomes small, isn't it? Here, exactly opposite. So far, Ram was restricted to Ayodhya. His effulgence was within Ayodhya. And now, Ram is called Surya Kula Surya. He belongs to the world now. You can't restrict him now anymore to a small city of Ayodhya. And that's the interesting thing. So when Ram comes out of the palace, he looks at the sun. And he realizes, so far, he has only been connected to the sun dynasty for namesake. But now onwards, he has to actually act like the sun. And what is the nature of the sun? The nature of the sun is to give light to everyone in the world. Isn't it? The sun is not restricted to Ayodhya. Sun is not restricted to Bombay. Sun is not restricted to any one place. The sun is belonging to everyone. And is equal to everyone in providing light. Interestingly, the sun itself is compared to knowledge. Isn't it? There are two types of knowledge in this world. There is knowledge that is Siddha Gyan. Siddha Gyan means this is a knowledge that comes out of great realization and great practice. And then there is something known as Sadhana Gyan. Sadhana Gyan means that it is just awakening. Siddha means perfection and Sadhana means practice. So, in the initial stage of our spiritual lives, we all have what is known as Sadhana Gyan. We are acquiring knowledge. Like say, for example, somebody may be giving first class class on anger management on the Vyasasana. And the moment he gets down, somebody says, what a stupid class you gave, you know, didn't make any sense. And immediately, that person who just gave a class on anger management gets angry on him, the fellow who gave a bad feedback, you know. So, our knowledge is Sadhana Gyan. That means we are in the process of practicing knowledge. don't expect Siddha Gyan from somebody who is practicing sadhana. You know, it's not realized knowledge. This is just practice. We're just understanding knowledge. But at some point of time, when we digest it and it actually becomes a part of us, then it becomes Siddha. So, sadhana gyan, the knowledge that comes with practice, that means the knowledge that we're just gaining, it has a lot of problems associated with it. You know, just like the sun, it gives light. That means it removes darkness from people's lives. But that sun also has some problems. Right? Just like sometimes the sun gets covered by clouds. And when the sun gets covered by clouds, it can't give light also. It can't give heat also. And sometimes the sun is so hot that it burns everything. Right? So here, this is the character of a sadhaka gaining knowledge. It's just like the sun. So when the knowledge of when the light of knowledge arises in the life of a sadhaka, he is acquiring what is known as sadhan gyan. So, interestingly, in the Ramayana, there are two people who belong to the Sun dynasty. One is Ram himself, and the second is Sugriv. Sugriv is son of the Sun God, isn't it? Sugriv represents sadhana gyan. That means the fellow who is acquiring knowledge is connected to the Sun. He's connected to knowledge, but he is right now practicing. He is not perfect. And Ram represents knowledge of the sun, but that knowledge is perfected. So, when the clouds come, even in daytime, it becomes dark. So, sometimes the sun appears, and sometimes the sun disappears. So, similarly, when somebody has knowledge, but he comes across bad association. You know, bad association like a cloud coming in front of the sun. Then knowledge gets destroyed. So that is why some devotees, even though they know that this is wrong, but because they are in the wrong association, they end up doing it. Why? Because that sangha covers knowledge. The sangha covers the knowledge of the sun. So similarly, when one is in good association, that knowledge of the sun is brilliantly visible. So that's one part of the sun. So one problem with the sun is that it gets covered by clouds, basically. So similarly, we find Sugriv, he has knowledge connected to sun god only, but sometimes because of bad association, he gets covered by the clouds and he acts stupid, acts bad, basically. The second problem with the sun is that the sun is changing constantly. The sun is not the same all day long. In the morning, sun is very pleasant, nice. In the afternoon, sun is very intense and hot. And, you know, in the evening, sun, the sunlight reduces. It's a different experience, right? So the light and heat of the sun are different at different times. Similarly, the sadhana gyan, the knowledge that you get, the light of knowledge that you get from sadhana, by practicing sadhana, it varies, you know. The light and heat of it keeps varying. Doesn't stay the same all day. That means sometimes you will be very effulgent. Sometimes you will not be so effulgent. So that means sometimes you act very knowledgeable and sometimes you don't act so knowledgeable. Sometimes you are very clear of what you want to do in life. Sometimes you're not so clear of what you want to do in life. You know, it's like increasing, decreasing, you know. The third problem with sunlight is that it gives light. But along with light, it gives heat also. Right? So when knowledge is without pride, it's like giving light only. But when knowledge comes along with pride, it is light and heat. That means people become proud of that knowledge. And that knowledge is hot. It's dangerous. People stay away from people who have lot of knowledge, but lot of pride. Isn't it? So, sadhana gyan can be compared to the peak of heat of summer. Like right now, we are getting into the peak of summer heat. sun is not so great, isn't it? You feel hot, you feel intensely hot. People curse the sun all the time in summer. But the same sun in winter is so soothing. We wait for the sun to rise. We wait for the sun to come out and give heat, right? Because the winter heat of the sun is soothing to the heart. So similarly, someone who gives knowledge without pride, you feel like hearing that person. You feel happy when you hear such a person. You feel inspired when you hear such a person. Because there is no heat in that knowledge. There is no intensity of pride in that knowledge. But the same knowledge, if somebody gives with a lot of pride in the heart, you can't handle it. Like for example, if you study Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita spoken by Hiranyakashipu, same knowledge. Both speak the same concept of body and soul, you know. Exact same words also probably, you know. But when Hiranyakashipu speaks it, it's knowledge with heat. Can't handle it. Nobody wants to hear him. I mean, have you ever heard Hiranyakashipu, Bhagavatam class, people wanting to, you know, sit and hear? Can't handle, because along with that light, there is heat. But when Krishna speaks the same knowledge, there is light, but that sun, the heat is a winter sun. Very pleasing to hear. So this is the way in which the sun's experiences, sun knowledge is. So knowledge from a person who is without abhiman, without pride, is like sun during Kartik month. Very pleasing, very very pleasing. And those who have knowledge with abhiman, with lot of pride, that kind of knowledge causes panic and fear in other people. If you hear someone who is very, very proud and speaking, people actually start fearing such knowledge, basically. Because that person speaks without understanding the audience. He's just speaking out of knowledge, but he's not speaking out of compassion, right? But when knowledge is given, not just out of knowledge, but out of compassion, you look at whom you're giving the knowledge to. And give the knowledge according to that person, you know. You can't just give like that, you know. Like I was just a few days back, I was giving this example of a man who went to an auditorium to give a lecture. Very well prepared, you know, he went. And in that auditorium, only one fellow was sitting. So this guy didn't know whether I should give the lecture or no. So he asked him only, should I give the lecture? You know, I've prepared nicely, but only you are there. Should I give the lecture? This man said, see, I'm a farmer. I don't know anything about such knowledge. But I know one thing. If I have 100 horses, if I have 100 horses and 99 run away and only one fellow is there, I will feed him. So this guy gave full lecture to this fellow. One guy, 2-3 hours heavy lecture he gave. Then after the 2-3 hours of lecture, he asked him, you know, so how did you like the lecture? This fellow said, I am a farmer. I don't know such things. I only know if only one horse is there and 99 horses ran away, I will not feed all the fodder that I have for 100 horses to this one horse. So it's not about just giving knowledge. It's also about knowing how to give that knowledge. Right? That's where humility is. That's where the whole idea of, you know, sun being effulgent, but at the same time the sun being, you know, calm, a winter sun. So Lord Ram is Siddha Gyan. He represents that knowledge, that sun. That is intense, lot of knowledge. But when he gives it, when he shares that light with the world, it doesn't burn you. It actually warms you. It makes you feel good. And that's the kind of sun that we should all aspire to become. That's the kind of knowledge that we should all aspire to have. Our knowledge shouldn't make us proud. Now, I'm going to focus on another aspect of Lord Ram's looking at this episode of being exiled. Ram, when he heard Kaikeyi telling him that he should go to a forest for 14 years, you know, interestingly, Ram felt Kaikeyi loves me so much. And she planned this for me. You know, Ram feels like that. So Ram calls her as Janani. Janani means mother, right? The mother who gives birth to you. Because the mother who gives birth to you understands what you want even when you don't understand what you want. Sometimes the baby is crying, right? The baby himself doesn't know why he's crying. But mother somehow figures out, you know, baby is crying because of this. I mean, if you and me look at a baby crying, how will we ever make out why the baby is crying, right? You will never be able to make out whether the baby is crying because of some mosquito biting or whether he's hungry or thirsty or what exactly is happening. That's why Ram calls her as Janani, because she understands him without him expressing to her what he wants. So Ram, he wanted to live in the forest for some time, you know, learn from the sages in the forest. But he never expressed a desire. Before he could express a desire only, Dasharatha Maharaj coronated him as king, declared, you know. Dasharatha never asked Ram, do you want to be the king? He called him and told him, you're going to be the king. Because nobody asks Ram for his opinion, because they assume that Ram is obedient and he will follow. And that's a fact also. Ram quietly, he said, okay, fine, I'll do what Dasharatha Maharaj says. But Ram is feeling, Kaikai loves me more, because she understood what I want. Nobody in Ayodhya is asking me what I want. Dasharatha is telling me what I should do. The citizens of Ayodhya are telling me what they expect me to do. And only Kaikai understands what I want. So Ram is feeling, she loves me so much. And Ram felt the two boons of Kaikai, that the two boons that Kaikai asked, he feels that one boon of Kaikai is like Kalpataru, like a desire fulfilling tree. And the second boon of Kaikai is like nectar. So usually when we look at Kaikai's boons, we criticize her so much. But when Ram looks at the same boons of Kaikai, he loves her so much, he appreciates her so much. So the first boon is Kalpataru. What does it mean? The desire fulfilling tree. What is the desire? I mean, which is the boon we're talking about? The 14 years of exile that Ram has been sent to. How is that a desire fulfilling tree? Because it fulfilled the innermost desire of Ram to be in the forest and learn from the sages. So the first boon of Kaikai is a Kalpataru. And the second boon of Kaikai is nectar. Because what is nectar for Ram? Making Bharat the king is nectar for Ram. How is it nectar for Ram? Because according to Ram, Bharat is an ocean of good qualities. Unfortunately, no one saw the good qualities of Bharat. No one got to see only. Why no one got to see? Because Bharat went and stayed in Kaikai Desh. 14 years he went and stayed over there. You know. So, why did Bharat stay in his grandfather's kingdom? So, a lot of people feel that, you know, Bharat stayed over there because he loved his grandfather more. Actually, Bharat stayed there because he loved Ram more. You know why? Because he knew that his grandfather, Kaikai's father, had taken a vow from Dasharatha that the son of Kaikai will become the next king. He had taken a vow. Only on that condition the marriage happened between Dasharatha and Kaikai. And Bharat knew of this. So he stayed far away from Ayodhya so that everybody in Ayodhya will forget him. And they will only love Ram. So he purposely stayed away from Ayodhya simply so that everybody loves Ram more. So imagine, what a sacrifice. And what a consciousness, what a thought process, isn't it? So he felt that if I stay in Ayodhya, I'll become an obstacle for Ram to become the king. So he stayed away from Ayodhya only. And that is the extent of the good qualities of Bharat. A swan has the ability to separate milk from water. That's the greatness of a swan, right? So Bharat also, he takes birth in this material world. He separates good qualities from all bad qualities. So Kaikai is the son, daughter of Kaikai, Ashwapati, who is the king of Kaikai Desh. And naturally, she took some qualities from her father. What are the quality of father? Quality of the father is that even before the birth of the child, he made condition. Even before giving his daughter in marriage, he had a condition for the marriage. That means there is selfishness, right? you think of your own benefit. So Kaikeyi took that quality from her father. But Bharat, he could have also acquired quality of his mother, isn't it? It's very natural. But like a swan, Bharat did not allow bad qualities to enter him. He only allowed good qualities to enter him. And many of the Ayodhya Vasis in Ayodhya, they called Kaikeyi as a snake. Because she spoke those two boons, right? You know, in the Raghuvansh, Kalidas has a very interesting way of describing this. He says, Kaikeyi's ears are like a snake hole. You know, you've seen snake holes, how they are? When you have these snake holes, there are multiple holes from which snakes come in and go out, isn't it? The one thing snakes cannot tolerate is water going in. So, Kaikeyi's ears are like a snake hole in which mantra sends in a lot of water. So when water goes into the snake hole, snakes come out very fast. And two snakes came out from Kaikeyi's mouth. The two boons. And the person who was standing next to her, they beat him, Dasharath Maharaj. So Kaikeyi, technically here, the Ayodhya Vasis consider her to be a snake because she emitted poison out. But Ram doesn't consider her to be a snake. The two boons that came out from Kaikeyi's mouth, he's saying one is Kalpataru and one is nectar, right? And the Ayodhya Vasis are saying she's a snake. But the Ayodhya Vasis say Bharat is a diamond on the head of the snake. So though the snake is poisonous, the diamond on its head is nishpap. It's pure. It's absolutely good, basically. So Kaikeyi, Bharat tried to figure out why his mother is acting like this. And he found out his mother is acting like this because she's attached to me. Bharat realized that. And Bharat realized if Kaikeyi has to progress in her spiritual life, her attachment to her son has to go. And you know what Bharat did to remove his mother's attachment to the son? He stopped calling her mother. First thing. He stopped calling her mother. And he began to chastise her like anything. If you read that section of the Ramayana, you literally see the anger of Bharat. Literally see the heaviness of the words that Bharat uses. And intense, the words that he says, you are like a baby scorpion that is inside its mother. To come out, it's tearing open the belly of the mother and coming out. So such words he uses to chastise Kaikeyi like anything. When Kaikeyi hears her own son, for whom she did so much, I mean, why she did so much? To get the kingdom for her son, right? And that son only is chastising her so badly. So, and the person whom she sent out, the person whom she really did bad for, Ram, he loves her. So Kaikeyi starts thinking, I think I made a mistake. I should have loved Ram only. He is only a better son than my own son. And that's exactly what Bharat wants. That's exactly what Bharat wants. Bharat wants her to hate him. Why? So that she can love Ram. Imagine what kind of a person this is. I mean, which son will want his mother to hate him? No son will ever want that, right? But here, purposely Bharat is speaking words that hurts Kaikeyi so much for her spiritual benefit, for her spiritual progress, for her development of love for Ram. And that is what Ram sees in Bharat. So, Bharat wanted to remove Kaikeyi's anger for Ram and remember his greatness. So when Bharat disowned Kaikeyi, you know, when Bharat said, you're not my mother at all, he just disowned her, you know. Kaikeyi wanted to bury herself in the earth or she wanted to go to hell. But even when she requested earth to take me inside, the earth said, I have no place for one who opposes Ram. And when she wanted to go to the hell, hell says, there is no place for a sinner like you. Because your sin of hurting Ram is so huge that even hell cannot accommodate you. So now, you know, when Kaikeyi was rejected by Bharat, Kaikeyi was rejected by everybody in Ayodhya, Kaikeyi was rejected by the earth itself, and Kaikeyi was rejected by hell. For such a person, Ram embraced her in Chitrakoot. Someone who is rejected by everyone in the world, including her own family, she is being embraced by Ram. And at that point, she realizes that the only person worth having a relationship with in this world is Ram. And we all have our own experiences of that, isn't it? You know, you can't expect too much from your family members, right? At some point of time or the other, they will insult you. You can't expect too much from your friends. At some point of the time or the other, they will leave you. You can't expect too much from your company, your organization, your bosses. You can't expect anything from any of them. At some point or the other, they will hurt you. But the one person who will never hurt you, never reject you, no matter what you are, no matter how bad you act, is Lord Ram. And imagine Kaikeyi rejected such a person. So Bharat did all of that to make her realize that you have rejected the one person who can actually always stand by you. And therefore, Kaikeyi got this disease from Manthara and got cured by Bharat of that disease. It is explained that the Samudra Manthan pastime, you know, where the gods, the demigods, at some point, they were experiencing a lot of pain in their lives. After Shukracharya got the Mrita Sanjeevani mantra. So Shukracharya, who was a guru of the daityas, the demons, he got this mantra. And by the power of this mantra, he could revive all the dead demons. So imagine, you know, fighting with somebody, like the demigods are fighting with the demons. And the demigods kill a demon. And after half an hour, they're fighting with the same demon again. I mean, imagine, you know, you kill that fellow and again he comes back to fight with you. So the demigods are getting bewildered. How many times you kill one fellow, you know? And that's when they realize they are in big trouble. Shukracharya was making the demons come alive. This is the reality of life. We can see this in life. Our bad qualities remain. And our good qualities quickly vanish, quickly fade away, right? So, some days in our life, we act very nicely, very kind, very empathetic, very compassionate. How many days can we do that? Very few days. Good qualities disappear fast. But bad qualities, they keep coming up again and again, you know. Time and again, they have this Mrita Sanjeevani mantra. If you kill them also, they'll come back again, you know. So here, the demigods were very, very confused. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And they realized that only Vishnu can help them. Because they realized, without the mercy of God, we cannot hold on to our good qualities. And the bad qualities become a part of us forever. So then when all the devatas, they went to Lord Vishnu told them, go and do Samudra Manthan and bring out nectar from the Samudra Manthan. You will find that in the Ramayana also, a Samudra Manthan is happening. A very interesting type of Samudra Manthan happens in the Ramayana. And so in the Samudra Manthan pastime of the Bhagavatam, we find the demigods and the daityas, the demons, they churn the ocean using the Mandara Parvat and bring out nectar, and they have Vasuki as a rope, you know, to pull and push. And through that churning comes out nectar, isn't it? So in the Ramayana, Ram said, I am also going to do Samudra Manthan in Ayodhya. And Ram did some amazing Samudra Manthan in Ayodhya. So he said, this Ayodhya is like an ocean. But this ocean, though it is filled with nectar, it doesn't allow the nectar to come up. So Ram said, I am going to churn the nectar and bring the nectar out. Bharat is an ocean of good qualities. So many good qualities Bharat has. But unfortunately, the good qualities of Bharat are not seen only by the world. Right? Where do you see the good qualities of Bharat throughout the Ramayana? So, Ram says, if I don't do Manthan, if I don't do Samudra Manthan now, the good qualities of Bharat will never come out. The world will never see the good qualities of Bharat. So, Ram decided to do Samudra Manthan. So, interestingly, I'm just giving you some examples of how Bharat hides his good qualities. I gave one example, remember, in the beginning? We spoke about how Bharat never came only to Ayodhya. He sat over there in Kaikeyadesh. Why? He felt, if I come there, then Ram will not be the king. They will make me king. So this is one good quality that Bharat had. He is so conscious. When Vishwamitra comes and takes Ram with him, Lakshman says, I will also go with Ram. And no matter what others say, Lakshman doesn't listen only. He goes with Ram. He doesn't care what others say. He doesn't care even what Ram says. He will go. But if Bharat was there in Ayodhya and Bharat also had said, I can't live without Ram. I will come with Ram. I will go along with Ram. Then the world would know that Bharat also loves Ram, isn't it? The world knows Lakshman loves Ram. How? Because he is so assertive that he wants to serve Ram. But if Bharat was in Ayodhya and he also asserted himself, the world would know that Bharat loves Ram also, right? But Bharat never does that. And Ram feels, this person on his own, he will never show the world his good qualities. I only have to put effort in helping the world see the good qualities of Bharat. And therefore, Bharat, he has a very strange nature, which is very difficult to understand. Just like an ocean is so deep. You can't understand the ocean, isn't it? Can anyone understand the ocean? It is too deep to understand. Similarly, Bharat's good qualities are so deep, it is very difficult to understand the greatness of Bharat. So here, so Ram in these, why Ram went on exile for 14 years? One of the reasons Ram went on exile for 14 years was to help Bharat's good qualities come out. So, Ram wants to tell that you want to hide from the world. He's telling his loving discussion with Bharat. You want to hide from the world. All your good qualities you want to hide. I will make sure all your good qualities come out to the world. So, what Ram does is that till the time Bharat's nectar doesn't come out, till then, people will always struggle to understand the difference between good and bad, you know. So that means they will struggle with this idea of good and bad. And bad will always win, you know. So Ram feels that for good to win, the world has to see Bharat's qualities. The world has to see Bharat's good qualities. So for Samudra Manthan, Ram needs a mountain, isn't it? And he needs a rope, Vasuki, basically. So what is that mountain? That mountain that Ram uses is the 14 years of separation. That's the mountain. And you can imagine the churning that happened in Ayodhya when people came to know Ram is going to be exiled for 14 years. Every single person in Ayodhya was shedding tears like anything. That the tears, the angst of the Ayodhya Vasis was like an ocean. And Ram was using that separation as a manthan to churn the ocean, basically. So that means if the exile did not happen, then Bharat's qualities would never have come out to the world. Isn't it? Bharat would have stayed there only and Ram would have become the king. And who would ever know greatness of Bharat? Everybody would know greatness of Ram, but nobody would ever know the greatness of Bharat. So Ram created this manthan by creating this 14 years of exile period for himself. And suddenly the greatness of Bharat comes out. So throughout the Balkanda of the Ramayana, Bharat is nowhere there. In the initial phase of Ayodhya Kanda of the Ramayana also, Bharat is nowhere there. And suddenly when the exile happens, the just the few chapters that are there after the exile, they bring out the greatness of Bharat's quality so much. Ram feels very happy that the greatness of Bharat's qualities has come out. So interestingly, now we saw the ocean is there. Ayodhya is the ocean, right? And Bharat's good qualities are like jewels that are hiding inside the ocean. And Ram is using the 14 years of exile as a manthan, as a rod to churn the ocean. And what is a rope to churn the ocean? What is that Vasuki? Vasuki is Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi, Ayodhya was already calling her snake, right? So she is a snake. And Ram uses Kaikeyi as a snake to churn out the good qualities of Bharat from the ocean. And therefore, Lord Ram made Kaikeyi Vasuki because she was Kriyamayi. Kriyamayi means she was action personified. And so he said, you will become the rope. And people will criticize you, calling you snake and all that, you know. But from this churning will come out the principle of Ram Rajya. And interestingly, it is said that Ram Rajya cannot come out unless there is Bharat Rajya first. So Ram first made Bharat the king, showed the greatness of his devotee, showed the greatness of Bharat. And from the greatness of Bharat comes out the greatness of Ram. So look at this amazing story. So if you look at Ramayana from our point of view, it's just so amazing that Ram is trying to bring out the greatness of Bharat. And Bharat is trying to hide his greatness. He's trying to bring out the greatness of Ram. There is a constant competition between devotee and God. The devotee is trying to bring out the greatness of God and hide himself. And God is intensely working overtime to bring out the greatness of his devotee and hide himself. Bharat is telling Ram, you come and become king of Ayodhya. Ram is saying, I won't come. You only become. What an amazing story, isn't it? What an amazing way of looking at the Ramayana, isn't it? So when we look at the Ramayana from this point of view, and so we spoke about Ram, you know, being Deepak, and then we spoke about Ram being the money, the jewel, and then we spoke about Ram being a sun. And we spoke about Ram not just being sadhana gyan, representing sun which is intense, having defects, but this sun who is radiating light, which is soothing and calm. And look at the way he does it when he deals with Bharat, isn't it? The way he deals with Bharat actually shows how he is knowledgeable, but at the same time, that knowledge is not the proud kind of knowledge, but it is a knowledge that makes you so much inspired, so much wanting to love Ram more. When Ram was leaving Ayodhya, this is the last thing I'll speak. When Ram was leaving Ayodhya, he was telling the citizens of Ayodhya to love Bharat. And he was telling the citizens of Ayodhya so many good qualities of Bharat. And he was telling them, your love for me will be seen by the way you cooperate and love Bharat. And you know what was happening? The more Ram was telling the citizens of Ayodhya to love Bharat, the more they were loving him. This is the most amazing thing. When you tell someone, love me, they will not love you. They will run away from you. But you tell someone, love this person, they will love you more. This is a human psychology, right? So the more you praise others, the more people will like you. The more you praise yourself, the more people will hate you. So Ramayana is such an amazing ocean of knowledge. And when you study the Ramayana, and especially these subtle nuances of the Ramayana from the point of view of our own practices of sadhana and developing good qualities, it just makes the Ramayana so much more appealing, heartfelt, and so much more applicable in our personal lives. So with this, I'll stop here, hoping that, you know, some of the qualities that we spoke about today, we will be able to meditate on them as we are approaching Ram Navami tomorrow and celebrating the appearance of Lord Ram. Lord Ram is not just God, but is a personification of so many of these beautiful qualities that make him so attracted to the heart. And the more we try to meditate on these qualities and try to make some of these qualities a part of our own lives, so much more Ramayana will be relevant to us and Lord Ram will appear in our own hearts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare